This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
The fact that 52% of young people are for him in the latest poll, 52% of young voters are for him. The millennial that's running, 2%. 2% of 18 to 35-year-olds are for the person their age. Young people want
to... You're talking about Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, Pete Buttigieg, yes. I'm not trying to avoid trying to pronounce the name. It is Buttigieg. The youngest people want the oldest person.
That is filmmaker and provocateur Michael Moore speaking in late December on Democracy Now! He's talking about the oldest person being Bernie Sanders. Why do young people not only support Bernie Sanders, they're excited about it, they seem to resonate with his political leanings and his political ideas, which are socialist at the very least, and, well, leaning toward at least being a fellow traveler with communism. How can this be? Could it be that these young people don't know history? They don't know what communism is or has been? While believing in many tenets of Marxism, they may not be able to tell you who Karl Marx was or even where he lived and acted on a globe. Could be. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders, the radical left, and socialist education. Dr. Thomas Korchak joins us. He's assistant professor of theology and director of the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at Concordia University Chicago. He's author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchak, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here today.
What is Bernie Sanders' message?
Well, I guess most people know that Bernie Sanders is quite out of the ordinary for traditional American politicians. He really does come from a different background than most politicians. It wasn't too long ago that no politician would dare denigrate the American way, American capitalism. And yet Bernie Sanders has made his whole message built around that. His idea of calling for revolution should be jarring to Americans, because we haven't gone for revolutions in a long, long time. And he relies on political rage. And in a certain way, he has a lot in common with Donald Trump, because they're both outsiders to their parties. They both rely on a certain sense that the system doesn't work anymore, that the American way of life isn't working anymore, and that something radical, absolutely radical, has to be done.
Then why do young people themselves say that they support Sanders?
Right. So at first glance, you would think that young people would not have anything to do with Bernie Sanders. He's an old ex-hippie, and you would think they would be looking for someone younger with fresh ideas, and Bernie Sanders doesn't come up with any fresh ideas. His ideas have been the same for years and years and years and years. Now, traditionally, if you read the mainstream media, they will identify issues like student debt, that students are bogged down with a tremendous amount of debt, and they're looking for someone to relieve that debt. Others will say that the traditional parties have stopped responding to the interests and concerns of young people. Others will talk about the economic disparities that exist between the rich and the poor, and how hard it is for young people to climb the economic ladder. And others will talk about the rise of environmentalism, that the youth are so interested with climate change and issues that address the environment that they're looking for an outsider. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that, and a lot can be done with regard to that. But I maintain that there's actually something more, something deeper than just those surface issues. And I would maintain that it's the way young people have been taught to think. It's a result of their education. And they are thinking in such a way that when Bernie Sanders comes along with his message, a message of Marxism, a message that capitalism is bad, a message that you should be redistributing the wealth and redistributing the power. This resonates with them. And so even though his message is really old, all of a sudden it's like, this is exactly the way we've been taught to think. Therefore, it makes sense.
So what specifically are young people being taught that makes Sanders so attractive to them?
Well, I like to say that American youth have been catechized. Now, usually we think of catechesis in terms of the Christian faith, and properly speaking, that's what it is. But their minds have been formed, their minds have been shaped in such a way through the way they've been taught, so that when someone like Sanders speaks, his message resonates with them. When Sanders talks about authorities and institutions of being dysfunctional and a means of oppression, it resonates with them. And in part, it's because the things that Sanders is talking about and his political philosophy is deeply embedded in American educational philosophy as well.
Let's talk about how Sanders does that resonating. What view of history does he present?
The traditional view of history, and I think this is what most people assume that history is about, is that it's a recounting of significant events, recounting of significant people, what they did and how that changed the course of history, the important ideas they contributed. And people will often dismiss history because it's just about dead white guys, they say. So that traditional view of history has been replaced by a personal narrative view, a neo-Marxist point of view. So in the new history, learning individual stories, learning stories about individuals and how they struggled against oppression, now has become the standard fare. Now, this idea that people are oppressed and history is about this constant overthrowing of oppression is a very Marxist type idea. But the problem is that history in schools won't talk about the history of Marxism. And so students are unable to play Marxism and socialism in any historical context. So even at university, we have university students, juniors and seniors, who not only don't know what Marxism is, they don't even know who Karl Marx was. And so how can you then, in a university classroom, say this is why Marxism is wrong or this is the weakness of socialism when they don't have any historical context to place it into? It just becomes an impossible task.
You say that the demotion of geography and education, along with the replacement of a lot of other subjects with environmentalism, has played a role. Talk about that.
Well, it's shocking how little geography students get in school. I brought this up with some of my students recently, and they said, geography? We don't ever study geography. Now, at first glance, you'd say, well, what does that have to do with Bernie Sanders? Except that they have no context into which to place Bernie Sanders' discussion. So it's similar to history, where they can't place historical events, nor can they place geographic events into a discussion. So Sanders can talk about Cuba and praise, you know, how Cuba has done so much for healthcare and literacy. He can talk about the healthcare system of Finland or Canada, and yet the young people have little knowledge about what these countries are and what he's talking about. They don't know the social context in which these systems operate. And so it's easy to say, well, we should have a healthcare system just like Canada. And I'm from Canada, so I'm well familiar with the healthcare system there. But I like to say, I don't think Americans would be prepared to pay 40% of their paycheck for socialized medicine. Or I don't think Americans would care to wait in line for 6 months or 8 months for an MRI. And yet that's what a standard type medical treatment in Canada is. But because I have no knowledge of what goes on in Canada, how can I say, well, what Bernie Sanders is talking about won't work here?
So he can either praise with impunity Marxist regimes of past and present, and it all sounds good to the kids because they don't really know what he's talking about. Or he could just, with impunity, make up facts about Canada's healthcare system, and still they have nothing to check it against.
Right, and it all sounds good. I mean, here's a politician who's offering me free everything. What's wrong with that? It sounds great, but it always comes with a cost. And if there was a politician on the right that made as radical comments as Bernie Sanders has made on the left, if you had a politician on the right who, like Bernie Sanders, had praised someone like Daniel Ortega in the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, or Fidel Castro, or the USSR, he wouldn't even be given the time of day. And yet, because of this historical vacuum and geographic vacuum that children live in, it sounds good, so I may as well go with it.
On the subject of environmentalism, how much of a focus has it become in young people's education today?
Environmentalism has become the issue that is central to almost every education, their system of education. Just think how in the past year, where students are let out to go on climate strikes, where Greta Thunberg becomes the darling of the world because she talks about how only the youth can save the world. Now, there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, think of the anxiety we place on youth by saying it's up to you to save the world. They're still trying to figure out what type of clothes to wear, and now they're also having to save the whole world. In addition to that, because of the historical ignorance that's out there, we can have someone like Greta Thunberg bashing capitalism and saying how evil and wicked capitalism is, and she's perfectly free to forget about the fact that capitalism liberated Europe not once but twice in 100 years, first in World War II and then during the Cold War. She's living with the benefits of capitalism, and yet she's free to bash it all she wants. This resonates with young people because they're constantly told how environmentalism is one of the key issues in school and that they have to be concerned. So many aspects of education are built on building environmental awareness.
With no sense of real history, with no sense of geography, that is, the relationships of the various nations to one another and where populations live and how even how populations thrive in economically and things like that. It seems to me that the rise of kind of a pseudo expert, be it Bernie Sanders or Thunberg, is inevitable.
Well, yes, I would say it is. And it's not just what children have been taught in school. That's one aspect of it, and that's what we've been talking about. But it's also the way they've been taught to think. And I think that's kind of the key issue that I'm most interested in, that attracts my attention. These principles, these Marxist principles, are woven into every aspect of our educational system. It goes way back. It goes back to the 1920s when the father of modern American education, John Dewey, started writing on the glories of Marxism. He went to the USSR in the 1920s. He went twice. And he came back saying, American education should be modeled after what they're doing. The USSR was just on the right path as far as education goes, and America had so much to learn from them. And by and large, his ideas then were taken up into mainline American education. And it was called progressive education. And I think it's a little coincidence that the far left likes to be called progressive as well, because they're tapping into the same ideas. Now, Dewey wasn't the last person to talk about the importance of Marxism. In the 1980s, right up until the present, one of the influential people in American education today is Lev Vygotsky. lots of people haven't heard about Lev Vygotsky, but Lev was Joseph Stalin's educational thinker back in the 1920s and early 30s. And Lev intentionally set to create a Marxist style of education in which religion was denied, where teachers were no longer viewed as authorities, where students were to form like little collectives in their classroom, and where a socialist understanding of knowledge, a collective understanding of knowledge, would be promoted. Now, you would think that American educators would look at this and say, well, we don't want that. But at the very time that the Soviet Union was crumbling, his ideas were being brought into American education so that in the 80s and 90s, they became widely adopted by the American educational establishment. So these ideas show forth in the classroom. So a popular saying is teachers should not be the sage on the stage, but the guide on the side. Teachers are not to be the authorities on what they teach. They aren't to be the subject matter experts. They are only there to guide students so that they can come to an understanding, a collective understanding of what is true and good and right. And so you see this preponderance of reliance on group work so that the students look to themselves and not to an external authority for any guidance. Cooperation and community are stressed over personal self-reliance. So this idea that we all have to work together as a cooperative, which is a very socialist idea and which is a very environmentalist idea, is stressed over and over and over in the schools. So you can see then why someone like Bernie Sanders, who comes along and says environmentalism and socialism and cooperation, these words all resonate with the way students have been taught.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, politically, Sanders is effectively done, and that means that he and his ideas have been repudiated and refuted?
Yes, and I think that this is his last kick at the can, and he doesn't have much of a chance of getting the nomination. But even if he loses, the underlying forces which have shaped the minds of America are still at work. I believe it was last week there was a New York Times op-ed that said Sanders has already won because his ideas have not only attracted the attention of youth, but have also moved the Democratic Party further to the left, further towards socialism. And so even after he goes away, those ideas will still be there. And there still be politicians that are going to be playing into them to attract that constituency.
How do educators go about offering an alternative to the ideas that have been popularized by men like Sanders?
I don't want to come across as a Sanders basher, but I think we have to be aware about those underlying ideas that are there and then say, how can we address those ideas? In part, some of the tensions that exist are real. So how do we address things like alienation of the youth? How do we talk about economic disparities in a proper way? That's one part. The other part is to look for an alternative way of teaching children. And in this way, classical education has a lot to say for it because classical education stresses content. It stresses a knowledge of history and geography. It stresses the teacher as being an authority that has been placed there by God, one that is to be respected. It stresses individual reliance and individual responsibility. I think if we stress those things, we're going to be inoculating our children against some of these ideas in an effective way.
You're the director of the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts. Tell us about that.
The Center for Lutheran Liberal Arts here at Concordia University Chicago is designed to promote a Lutheran understanding of the liberal arts. It's designed to address some of the concerns that we have as Christian educators about the trends in American education, some of the things that we've been talking about, and to recover the church's way of teaching our youth. The church has 2,000 years of experience. We've produced some of the best educational thinkers in the history of education. And what the Center for the Lutheran Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts is here to do is to promote that, to encourage a recovery of our way of teaching children. And I think if we teach children our way, not the way that a conservative would have them taught and not the way that a liberal would have them taught, but the way that the Orthodox faith says they should be taught, then we are going to have children who are able to address some of the concerns that we've been talking about and address them in a God-pleasing way.
Learn more about the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Thomas Korchak is Assistant Professor of Theology and Director of the Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts at Concordia University and author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchak, thank you.
Good to be here.
Joy Pullman is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking about learning, working from home during school closings. Stay tuned.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
See My Savior's Hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Whedon, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're plowing on into Hebrews, destroying the one who has the power of death, Jesus better than Moses, as long as it is called today. There remains a Sabbath rest and the throne of grace. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.